I just want to pray. Can I pray?
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. I thank you for the people that are here. I thank you for what you've done in this place for over the many, many years. I thank you for what you're doing in this place, and I thank you for what you're going to do in this place. Lord, your heart is for souls. And I pray that each and every one of us in this room, Lord, will step up to what you've called each and every one of us to do. And that is to help you save souls. We lift up this community of Forestfield. We lift up this community of Western Australia and our nation, Australia, and this globe. And we speak the name of Jesus into every city, not over it, but into it. And we lift up your church and we pray for unity amongst all denominations, your church, Lord. That when the lost see all these churches come together in unity, Lord, they will know that you are real. So I pray, Lord, let 2020 be the year of salvation. And Lord, help us, equip us, strengthen us to do your work. I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12 says, I run with passion into his abundance so that they may reach the destiny that Jesus Christ has called me to fulfill and wants me to discover. I don't depend on my own strength to accomplish this. However, I do have one compelling focus. I forget all of the past as I fasten my heart to the future. Instead, I run straight for the divine invitation of reaching the heavenly goal and gaining the victory prize through the anointing of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, our vision here at Hillside is committed to transformation in Jesus' name. Our mission here at Hillside is in love we bring hope to the world through faith in Jesus' name. Now, there's three words in that, and love, hope, and faith are our pillars in this place. Do we have that up on the... Do we have the PowerPoint up? Should be there on the stick. So everyone, welcome to Advanced Sunday. You've just heard from many people here that what is actually happening here at Hillside amongst all the ministries. And some of you may be thinking, wow, Hillside is bigger than I thought. You know what? We serve a big God. And Hillside does have a big footprint in this community and will continue to do so. I hope you will see the heart of Hillside and what God is doing in this community through each and every one of you. Because you all have a place and a job to do. Advance is a word that is on the lips of many churches from mixed denominations. You know, Perth hasn't seen the magnitude of church leaders from many denominations coming together to pray. And over the past 3 years, probably since the elections where Pastor Margaret Court called, Lord, literally, the church in Australia that was Catholic, and, Catholic, Anglican, Baptist, Protestant, Pentecostal, Apostolic, she called everyone to pray, and everyone was praying. They were praying over the airwaves. We were meeting up in on the internet from all over the country and praying. And WA, we have not seen anything like this. We've seen church together in the past where all the family and friends have gone to the city once a year. But we've never seen like 150 pastors from all different denominations meeting up in Kings Park regularly, 3 or 4 times a year, to pray into the city and pray for each other and worship the King. It has been an absolute awesome to just to be part of it. And so we're starting to see the momentum here in WA and across the globe, where the church is starting to have favour. Not individuals, but the church as a whole. See, there is a sense of excitement in this state that seats are starting to be filled. Increase of salvations are being told of, and baptisms. And when all these pastors are coming together and talking about these things, it excites each other. So we're able to come back into our own churches and be excited of what God is actually doing. It's been iron sharpening iron as leaders meet together and share what each one is doing and offering a hand to help each other. You know, this is a really exciting thing that's happening in this state. You know, a pastor said, you know, we're the city of lights. And I really believe that we're the city of lights. We are. We're a city I've just gone my mind blank. What are the things that go, the lighthouses. Oh dear, didn't have that in my notes. But we are, but we're to be lighthouses, and I think God's doing something fresh and new, and it's really exciting. You know, there's more work to be done in unifying the church, but there's a momentum happening, and we're starting it, and I believe God is saying now. You know, we heard say yes, we've got to do it, but God, I believe, is saying now to the church. You know, we can say yes all we want. Say, yeah, I believe. But God's saying, now, advance. Advance my kingdom. Okay? Now, this year, I got a word which I shared with many of the pastors. And I believe that this is a word. I believe this is a word that the Lord gave me. He says, this year, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Remember last year, it was seek first the kingdom of God. So it's a continuation of it. This year, strengthen yourself in the Lord. Pursue, overtake, recover, and be generous in supernatural strength. And when I got given that, I thought, yeah, that's great. And a pastor, a friend of mine, said, you know what? I've got been given pretty similar stuff. And he read out from some of the Psalms and everything. I thought, oh, this is great. But I said, Lord, if you've given me a word, I want you to back it up in Scripture. Because I need to have it backed up in Scripture. And he said, okay, well, read your word then. I said, all right. So I started reading the Bible. And I also had a vision late last year that I shared with a lot of you before about a mustard seed starting to crack open and starting to grow. And I'm just getting excited about this. Because, and I really believe what the Lord's going to do to each and every one of us is that our faith is going to start to grow. And the church as a whole, their faith is about to start to grow. Amen? Do I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. You know, some of you said as I said the other Sunday, may miss out on what God desires for you. And I want you to think about this. I mean, it's great that you come here to Hillside, and it's great that you go to your churches. Some of you other people go to other churches, and you sit on a Sunday morning, and you do church, and praise God, and then you go home and do nothing. Well, I want to tell you that if you've always been wanting to see a harvest, and you've always wanted to see things that are going on and really seek the presence and feel the presence of the Lord and everything. You've got to get off your backsides. Because I really believe God is saying now and advance. And to do that, you can't advance sitting on the seat. If you do, you're going to get a rash on your backside. Yeah? You've got to get up and start doing something. Start walking out your faith. And the only way you're going to do that is by increasing your faith. Now I'm going to read you a passage of scripture from 1 Samuel 30, okay? So in your Bibles, go to your 1 Samuel chapter 30. All right, firstly, before I start, I'm cutting this down a little bit, okay? So because I'm mindful of time. But before I start, I just want to give you a little prelude to it. In short, David was in exile and Saul had been chasing after him, okay? And David and his 600 men then decided to camp with the Philistines in Ziklag, which was in that land. And so Saul actually stopped chasing him. He thought, oh, he's over there, that's okay. But then David becomes a servant of Asish. He's the son of Maok, the king of Gath, a Philistine. So David becomes a servant, more or less his servant. And David hears that the Philistines are going to go into battle with Saul. So David and his 600 men go up to join the Philistines. Surprise, isn't it? But you read the story, David actually goes with the Philistines to go into battle with Saul, because he's a servant. Okay, but the other Philistine leaders turned to Asish and said they don't trust David, who's behind them. He said he's a Hebrew. He's an Israelite. He's one of Saul. He used to be Saul's great commander. There's something not right here. So they all got together and they said, mate, you got to go. Go back home. So David returns with his 600 men back to their home to Ziklag, and that's where we pick up the story in scripture, 1 Samuel chapter 30. You with me? This is a drama, people. This is a pretty great drama. You could actually do a movie out of this. This is what I believe the Lord has showed me. And firstly, some of us have been off track, so we need to return home. Okay, so we've been fighting battles. We want to fight battles, and God's saying, stop, go home. All right, so we go home. Right, we turn around and we go home. So 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their town of Ziklag, they found out that the Amalekites had made a raid into Negev and Ziklag. Now, to stop there, okay? The Amalekites were a vicious group. They were known around the town as a very... They were terrorists, in other words, and they were horrible. We read that they attacked Israel shortly after the Exodus. And you read that in Exodus chapter 17. And they are portrayed as terrorists who took advantage of the weaker opponents and inflicted horrible torture and horrific killings on their opponents. As a result, God promised Israel that he would extract vengeance against them sometime in the future. And that's in Exodus 17 and Deuteronomy 25, where God says, I will completely blot out the memory of the Amalek from under heaven. Now, could David be an instrument of Yahweh's vengeance against the Amalek? Let's listen. Keep on going. Back to the story. Okay, so it goes on. They found that the Amalekites, had made a raid into Negev and Ziklag. They had crushed Ziklag and burned it to the ground. They had carried off the women and children and everyone else, but without killing anyone. Now, just stop there. Remember what I said about that group of people? They were horrible. They murdered, they tortured, they did horrible things. But here we hear, but everyone else without killing anyone. So they grabbed everyone and went off with them without harming them. Okay, now continue on. When David and his men saw the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. Who's a bloke in the room here? Who's wept before? You guys have cried? Yeah. Have you? Can you imagine weeping till you can't weep no more? Should write a song about that. Weep, weep no more. But can you imagine these guys? This is not just, this is horrific for them. They obviously love their wives and their family. Continuing on, David's two wives, Ahinoam from Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal from Carmel, were among those captured. Now, David was now in great danger because all his men were very bitter about losing their sons and daughters. Oh, it doesn't say wives, does it? Can we add that in just for about losing their wives and sons and daughters? No, they're ugly women back there. Anyway, I'm only joking. And they began to talk of stoning him. Okay, so so here, what was stone you? I heard that. So they were thinking of stoning him. But David found strength in the Lord. Now, can you imagine this? Can you just imagine it? You've come back, everything's been taken, you've got 600 men that are just like pretty ticked off because they didn't go into battle. They've just come back, everything's been got wiped out, and you're the leader. And you've got 600 men wanting to stone you. David found himself like Saul. Saul was being surrounded by the Philistines and about to lose his life. And David was being surrounded by his own men. Now, both men are at their lowest. However, one's actions will illustrate why David will become the ideal king of Israel. You see, David used his faith as he found strength in the Lord. This illustrates the synergistic nature of faith. That is, faith requires a human response, though it is enabled by God. Even though God graciously makes faith possible, it is up to us to respond to his grace. Now, the full significance of his strength is in the phrase, in the Lord his God. See, his God stresses David's personal relationship between him and God. Saul had no faith-based personal relationship with God. In this moment of utter despair, he's incapable of relying on God for deliverance. However, David was. By contrast, David is the anointed one. And see how he found his strength in the Lord? He earnestly sought him out. How's your faith-based relationship with the Lord? Let's get back to the story. Then he said to Abiathar the priest, bring me the ephod. Now, there was a picture of the ephod down there. There it is. He said, bring me the ephod. Now, that is a garment, okay, that the high priest used to wear when they used to go and commune with God. So David used to put this on every time. He used to sing and dance and praise and worship and shout to the Lord. He'd put this on. So that's the ephod. Just thought I'd throw that in there. In case no one understood what ephod was, bring me the ephod. So Abiathar brought it. Then David asked the Lord, should I pursue? There's that word, pursue. Should I pursue after this band of raiders? Will I catch them? It's a pretty decent thing to ask God, isn't it? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will surely recover. It's another word that I got. Recover everything that was taken from you. So David and his 600 men set out. Now, just that's faith, isn't it? That's faith. Right there, faith in action. Believing what God has told him. And they came to the brook Besor, but 200 men were too exhausted to cross the brook. So David continued the pursuit with 400 men. Now, I don't know about you, but if you had an army and all of a sudden a third of your army decided to go, I'm too exhausted, surely you'd go, okay, well, let's just camp here for a couple of days, wouldn't you? But no, David's faith in what God said, I reckon he would have gone with one soldier. That's how deep faith he had in the relationship with God. So along the way, they found an Egyptian man in the field and brought him to David. They gave him some bread to eat and water to drink. They also gave him a part of a fig cake and two clusters of raisins, for he hadn't had anything to eat or drink for 3 days and nights. Before long, his strength returned. So you can imagine this guy they found. They said, okay, let's get him well. Again, they could have just cut his head off if they wanted to, but they didn't. They get him well. And then they said, to whom do you belong? And where do you come from? David asked them. He says, I'm an Egyptian, a slave of the Amalekite. Ooh. Ooh. My master abandoned me 3 days ago because I was sick. We were on our way back from raiding the Kerethites at Negev, the territory of Judah, and the land of Caleb. And we had just burned Ziklag. Now, wouldn't you think, here's a guy that's just admitted burning your own hometown. Wouldn't you just want to draw out your sword and just go, whoosh? But no. David says, will you lead me? This is wisdom. Why? Because he's seeking and earnestly seeking out the Lord. He's wise because he's with God. Will you lead me to this band of raiders? Just keeping you on your toes. You guys, did you pick that up? You've only had 3 hours' sleep. That was for you. Yeah. All right. So will you lead me to this band of raiders? David asked. And the young man replied, if you take an oath in God's name, so he's pretty smart too, if you take an oath in God's name that you will not kill me or give me back to my master, then I will guide you to them. So he led David to them, and they found the Amalekites spread out across the fields, eating and drinking and dancing with joy because of the vast amount of plunder that they had taken from the Philistines and the land of Judah. So could you imagine? It's just massive. Everyone's in party mode. All right, David and his men rushed in. Didn't say David, they didn't say they checked it out. They just rushed in. It says that. So they didn't check it out, or they just rushed in because of his faith. David and his men rushed in among them and slaughtered them throughout that night and the entire next day until evening. That's huge. None of the Amalekites escaped except 400 men who fled on camels. Could you imagine? You could imagine it, couldn't you? Quick, hurry up. David got back everything the Amalekites had taken, and he rescued his two wives. Nothing was missing, small or great, son or daughter, nor anything else that had been taken. David brought everything back. He also recovered all of the flocks and the herd, and his men drove them ahead of the other livestock. This plunder belongs to David, they said. How fast people change their minds. Just a few days ago, they wanted to stone him to death, and now they're praising him. Then David returned to the brook Besor and met up with 200 men who had been left behind because they were too exhausted to go with him. They went out to meet David and his men, and David greeted them joyfully. But some evil troublemakers among David's men said, they didn't go with us. They can't even have any of the plunder we recovered. Give them their wives and children and tell them to be gone. But David said, no, my brothers, don't be selfish with what the Lord has given us. He has kept us safe and helped us defeat the band of raiders that attacked us. Who will listen when you talk like this? We share and share alike. Those who go to battle and those who guard the equipment. From then on, David made this decree and regulation for Israel, and it is still followed today. It's still followed today in the year 2020. Share and share alike. That's what God calls us to do. That is generosity and supernatural strength. Generosity. So when he arrived at Ziklag, David sent part of the plunder to the elders of Judah, who were his friends. He said, "Here is a present for you, taken from the Lord's enemies." And this is where the Lord came to me through that scripture. Strengthen yourself in the Lord this year. Pursue this year. Overtake this year. Recover this year. And be generous this year in your supernatural strength. As I said, last year we encourage you all to seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And remember what God promises. And all these things will be given to you as well. That's in Matthew chapter 6. And here we go back to the Old Testament. And we hear the whole story. God's word. For us today in 2020. This year, my prayer is that our faith will rise along with our belief. That we will continue to seek the Lord across the whole Hillside organization. That we will pursue what the enemy has taken. That we will be successful in recovering everything, and we will be a generous people and a blessed people. I really believe that it's time to stop praying, okay? Hear me on this, keep praying, but stop praying about the people that your brothers or sisters or your children that are lost. We've been praying enough. I really believe God is saying, go out there, pursue those people, grab them and recover them. That means that we have to get off our backsides and go and speak to those people directly about the love of God in their life. And I really believe this year, your teachings, I'm going to start a 4-week series on faith. I really believe that we are to grow in our faith so we can be equipped to go out and do what God has actually told us to do. For so many years, I think many of us have been like Moses and just praying and praying and praying and praying. He never got to see the promised land. My prayer is that each and every one of you will see God's grace. And you will get to see God's promises. Amen? And this is what is happening. And this is what the feel of the church in Perth is talking about. We're seeing a lot more baptism. We just experienced the baptism this weekend. We're experiencing people coming in from HCCO. They come from out that back door into this door, into the baptismal font. That is what I'm talking about. And you can be sitting in your chair and clap and say, this is fantastic, while all your friends and family, you're hoping to see a harvest, but you're not doing anything about it. God is saying, advance, people. Wake up, people. This is the year of salvation. You've got to be bold, just like David did. Pursue, overtake, recover, and be generous. Let's light the flame in those, what are they called, lighthouses. And let our light shine in this community. more than ever. You know, God is so good. Can I have the music team up, please? God is so good. And we're going to sing that again. And when we sing that this morning, just think of this year. God, you are so good. And think of those people, your loved ones, that you want to see in church. And ask God. Seek Him. Seek Him to give you the strength and the wisdom and the insight and the knowledge and everything else to give you that strength like David had to go and pursue and overtake and recover what the enemy has taken. It's about time that we got bold in our faith. You know, the church in Australia for so many years has been intimidated by darkness. That's got to stop. You know, this nation was founded on principles of Christianity, principles of Jesus Christ. That's why we love living here. That's why people are trying to come in by boats illegally. That's why Australia is meant to be the great place. Why? We're a great place because our forefathers before us paved the way. Why? Through character and integrity. Why? Because of what was written in God's Word. Our constitution, our foundations are all based around God's Word. But it's slowly being eradicated, it's slowly being eroded away by darkness. And you know what? I believe that the church in WA especially, all the pastors and leaders are saying, we've had enough. Now's the time for our lights to shine. And I hope that you will, with me, with Hillside Organisation and the teachers included at Hillside School, will this year be bold in your faith. You know, when I first started here 17 years ago, I used to hear of 10s and 20s and 30s of children coming to the Lord at the school. And over the years, that's continued and continued. But you know what I really want to see? Yeah, I want to see kids give their lives to Jesus, but I want to see their parents. I want to see their uncles. I want to see their aunties. I want to see their grandparents all come to the Lord. The best thing that happened in the last 24 hours was you getting baptized. That has encouraged me so much. Just one more. You know, we're going to have a baptism service for Easter. I think we've got one or we've got one person so far. You know, I want that baptismal font full. And I want water spilled out everywhere. Amen? You know, I used to have a basket there with all the names that you put in. Believe that those names that you put in that basket this year, not just by praying for them, that's good, but by God's going to use you. He's going to use you. And God is saying now. Now is the time. Now, just like he told Moses, he slapped him across the head and said, just move. And the waters parted. It's like David said, go now, pursue, overtake, recover, advance. Evangelist Nathan Morris quoted the following. Once you have tasted the realms of God, nothing else will satisfy you. Nothing else will satisfy you. And that's my prayer, that nothing else will satisfy you this year. Let's all stand. Let's sing.